Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to the various quadrant lords taking over sectors 57 Alpha and Bravo. Make sure that your various groups and armies are ready to go, because it is April the 1st, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. Yes, April Fool's Day, 2024, as many people have said on this particular day, post-2020, it's hard to say what day is an April Fool's. Hard to say when they're not fooling around with all their bullshit. Paragliders, box cutters, magical special passports. It's coming. The magic bullet. Yeah. Strange times, I'm just telling you. It turns out that if you have a cargo ship, a paraglider, a box of box cutters, and probably a suit of armor made out of U.S. passport material, you can take over the planet. You can wield great power. You can rule with your cargo ship, shutting down the world, right? Because globalism said that couldn't happen. Oh, maybe somebody lied. Maybe somebody lied. But April Fools, right? It's only for fools. Yeah, I'm tired. We're all tired. That's why I've reached the end of my rope. I've decided to start issuing orders. Yes, I'm issuing orders. This is your warning order. Wake the fuck up. Time to get ready. I'm issuing orders. I'm issuing orders to all Jorgen forces. It's time to sharpen knives and load up socks with rocks. Take your Gimli balls and your tiger shakes down to quadrant 43. At which point you will encircle the drogue armies of Forsta, while wheeling on the rear of Bogon the Roar Gurgon, seek out opportunities to harry and torment our enemies. Bury the bones near the masonry pit. Bury the bones near the masonry pit. Near the old bricks. I'm issuing more orders. I'm sending the lesbian sky navies out to hunt in their magnificent vacuum ships, dressed so scantily, ready for battle. They will patrol the near space at 20 to 30 miles up, seeking out targets of lusty opportunity, keeping the Hergmasters under pressure as Lord Sind rallies our forces near Boston and sends the Color Guard to the Ringlet Prime. Sure, the women of the Sky Navy will be ungundulating themselves as they do battle, but that is as it should be. Battling high above the earth, lesbian sky navies with ion drives. I'm issuing orders. I am sending the submarines on Plan Jello Pie. They will move Dregan fluids to the front line so that our scar fighters can maintain the front in good standing. These subs will run quiet and deep as various robot fish people hunt them, horrible, and hunt them they will. Subcommander Carl will lead an assault upon the ocean palace of Queen Gopra and her various Glog warriors will be destroyed. Authorization to use wacky fission devices is given. Start scraping. Start scraping the americium out of those smoke detectors. Get ready, baby. I'm issuing orders. I'm kidding. Don't scrape americium out of smoke detectors. That's toxic. A full assault on objective Whitefire has begun, and General Woob of Grid 2 is in charge. He's moving giant trebuchet and fire throwers to the front. He's got a shit ton of diesel and a couple old tanks and 5,000 pounds of cocaine, so he's ready. The general has sent out scouts and is already moving up archers and various swamp creatures from Denver. The attack might last years, decades. Millions will die. All for the wrath of a pitiable soul. His name was Chad. Poor Chad. He thought he was rad. He went to battle wearing nothing but purple underwear. And now Chad is gone. But we'll build a statue for you, motherfucker. I'm issuing orders. I'm ordering the milk maidens to prepare the great gorbly bath. Skazi herbs and goat grease will season the great hole. As busty women wrestle violently to be the goob duchess and to hold on to that magical refrigerator out back that contains all my jizz. The battle will be complete when the last maiden suckles upon Zoom spies. I'm issuing orders. I'm issuing orders to all kung fu heroes. Grab your nunchucks and butterfly knives and shuriken. Take the castle by first taking the guard tower and shower upon the Moog sinners all the wrath of Aegis the Mort. Remember to send those soiled materials to Dr. Eek and let him sort out the protein. I'm issuing orders to the Klungit armies and the crumbly gangs. All hobos and werb nurblers, all Genghis fruit. Rise up, werb nurblers and Genghis fruit. Time to create chaos in Region 5. Let the slingo pickets hold tight against Emperor Souls. Remember your training while you were playing video games and drinking Code Red. Your dark marrow is coding. Your fecal juice is lore. Rise up and follow your orders, Haglamites. All else is unclean. I am issuing orders, so wise up, Ned. If you can grab a spear made of old rebar and swing a pillowcase with D-cell batteries, if you can grab that jug of torpedo sauce and take a swig and jump full bore force into the snake power of fire, you can form a gang, you can form a clan, you can form a sect. Form up, baby. You can mumble in vague phrases and let nothing burn but pain. Your mind will be split open with mold and your soul becomes walnuts. and this is the only damn war you're gonna get. This is your warning order. This is your life. This is your warning order. This is your strife. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Measure once, cut twice. A claymore mine works real nice. Oh, I'm going to get on a list for that one. I don't know. I had this note about it, about something that happened in 2018. I think it was 2018. I'm going to drink a little water here if that's okay with you people. An article from 2018, as I recall, and it was about this, you know, fake accidental message that got sent out to people in Hawaii telling them that nuclear missiles were inbound. And so the parents of Hawaii grabbed their children and they tossed them down the drain. They started tossing their kids down the drain. They were told life is insane and everything's radioactive pain. So grab your kids and toss them down the drain. Oh, Dan, you're being mean. What would you do? I don't know. I mean, I get it. Storm drain, sewer, bunker, logic. You know, what do you do? What do you do? If you're nowhere near a cave, and what do you do? If you don't have a bunker, if you don't have a fallout shelter, what do? You take your kids and you toss them down the storm drain. And in some ways, this is exactly what happened in 2020. It's not the whole story, but it's part of the story. That in 2020, a bunch of parents were told something that wasn't true. There's a pandemic. It's killing grandma. There's a pandemic. It's coming for you. Up the poop pipe. Oh my God. Tigers at zoos. Follow the arrow. Wear the coffee filter. And, you know, play Simon Says because everything's okay. And so I won't be a hypocrite. I'll be very specific. I did things in 2020 that I wasn't proud of. I put on the mask so I could go to the grocery store. I put on the mask so I could take a bus ride. I obeyed the lie. Now, periodically, if you ever went to Uncle Ike's on particular days, you might have seen me break out in a song at 23rd and Union, you know, basically the daily pandemic song, but, you know, that wasn't really fighting back as it was just going crazy. A lot of people were told there's a fire in a crowded theater in 2020. A lot of people were fed nothing but fear. A lot of people were blatantly manipulated. And if you want to be nice about it, you can say, well, Dan, it was just one big mistake. Oh, Dan, it was just about stealing money from the poor, all of which could be true. It could be that it was a power grab. It could be that we're going to have one world government. It could be. The problem is the fear machine may have turned down the COVID, but then it turned up other bullshit. And it seems as if we had a fairly steady level of mind fuckery since 2020. So I don't know why. I know that they've been doing this to all of us our whole lives, so it's not like it was suddenly a new thing in 2020. What was special about 2020 is it became the king of battle. Okay, it really did. It wasn't just 3 weeks after 9/11. And it also, Dan, you have the COVID. No, I just have a cold I'm getting over. Get the fuck over it. Probably not living on mold would help too, but that's a separate topic. We were told in 2020 that there was a fire in a crowded theater. We were told lies. People behaved in terrible ways. And if you want to be nice about it, you can say it was a big mistake. At this point, I can't see how. So anywho, I don't want to spend time on this. I'm not beating up on the people of Hawaii. What the fuck do you do if they're going to attack you with nuclear weapons? But toss your kids down the drain. But so many parents in 2020, in that figurative sense, because they simply wanted to get along and not ask difficult questions, they did kind of toss their kids down the drain. Even if you didn't get the vaccine, even if you didn't get suckered into all the get-well-quick bullshit, even if you kept your head, you might have gotten to the point where you simply gave in and you played the game. I don't know. I didn't have to be a parent in 2020, so there's a lot there to just say maybe my opinion is bullshit. But I got to tell you, folks, just because they tell you there's a nuclear attack doesn't mean there's going to be. Just because they tell you that the Russians are our enemies doesn't mean that's true. Just because they tell you that most of the people being killed in Gaza are terrorists doesn't make it true. At least ask some questions. The next time they tell you there's a disease X or a disease Y or disease W or a pigeon herpes or a monkey herpes or some type of bat fucking goat herpes, maybe ask some questions. Maybe employ Occam's razor. Because at this point, your ability to sort out bullshit, as well as mine, is very much becoming the difference between life and death. Yeah, sorry. Don't toss your kids down storm drains, figurative or otherwise. I don't know. Unless they're attacking with nukes, right? You don't have a better option. Anywho, there's an article I have, a link in the notes, to a situation in Thailand. I'm going to read the article. This is coming from the Daily Mail. DailyMail.com. Date of the article is March the 28th, 2024. The author is Miriam Kuiper. Kuiper? I don't know how to say that right. Kuiper? Kuiper? I don't care. Anyways, headline, rampaging monkey gangs terrorize Thai tourist town. And I read on. Rampaging monkey gangs are terrorizing a Thai tourist town, causing cops to arm themselves with slingshots and tranquilizer guns to combat the dangerous primates, literal trauma monkeys. Officers said they have come under attack from aggressive macaques in the town of Lopburi, about 90 miles north of the capital of Bangkok, which has become notorious for its out-of-control monkey population. The local police station has now issued wooden catapults that I gotta stop right fucking here. Wooden fucking catapults? What the fuck? Okay, folks. It's probably true that there are monkeys in Thailand. And it may very well be true that they've organized themselves in the gangs, but fucking catapults. I don't know, folks. I had this horrible thought in my head that the human race has become so stupid that in a situation like this, the cops bring catapults to the battlefield and the monkeys start learning how to use guns, but then they start printing guns, probably little 22s that they can just bring up to your head really quick, right? I don't know. Maybe 9mm. The point is, given the state of the human race at this point, and I can't continue reading this nonsense, if you want to read about the monkey gangs of Thailand, there's a lot there. I simply made a note that these are literal trauma monkeys, okay? We talk about figurative trauma monkeys a lot, but these fucking monkeys are trauma and they're real. So there you go. I have a link to another news story I don't really want to read. It is from a couple days ago, from the 30th. And the article deals with a U.S. congressman that has proposed that the Israelis use nuclear weapons to deal with Gaza. If you've listened to my podcast since 2020, you know one of my rules that I try to follow, even if I don't explicitly talk about it, is that when we look at these stories, let's look at them as a Sovietologist. Let's not just unironically read these stories, assuming that we understand A, the truth of them, B, the context, or C, why the media machine is tossing it in our face. I think the media machine can bury stories. I think it can bury the truth. It's done that for years. Does it become impossible to find? No, but it becomes impossible enough. And it really is a numbers game. So if you see an article, or frankly, if you listen to some edgelord podcast, videocast on YouTube, there's a reason why you're seeing it. There's a reason why you're listening to it. If you want to play pretend that you found the ultimate source of truth somewhere, yeah, send me an email. Where's that? So before we really dig deep into this at all, because I don't really want to, understand, I don't know why the media would in any way promote a story like this, because it is technically on the social radar. I picked it up from social media, so it's out there. It might be buried in a way, but it's not that buried. And also, we should remember that probably nobody you know or I know has firsthand knowledge about what's going on in Gaza. That's probably a true statement. I don't know one person personally that lives in Gaza. I don't. And so I don't have a source of information I trust about it. Can I believe that there are terrible things happening? Sure. Can I believe that the IDF is conducting what can only be called ethnic cleansing? Yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it. And I can believe that a lot of people in the state of Israel are probably supporting it. Can I believe that the Israeli government would ever consider something as stupid and crazy as what this congressman is proposing? I can only say this. If I allow myself to believe that, then more or less, I have to kind of admit to myself that we are on the edge of the end times. If that's the next thing to happen, if there's a nuke that goes off in Gaza, which would be so stupid and crazy, no matter what your opinion is, then yeah, I would be stuck with fuck. You know, either there is no God or we're pretty close to the spin-up. That's about it. As much as I want to say about this advice from this really crazy, stupid fucking U.S. congressman, okay? If you want to read more about dumb ideas, nuking Gaza, you read on, baby. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Yeah. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, baby. Let's be honest. Voters hate anarchists more than they hate Nazis or communists. Dr. Freckles, what does that mean? Well, here's the deal. Whether it's the socialist, the Green Party, the Libertarian, the Republican, the Democrat, it doesn't really matter. As long as you keep voting and believing that that's going to work, then you are on the reservation. And I'm sorry for being so blunt about it, but really not sorry. At this point, if you're confused about whether voting works or not, I don't know what to tell you, okay? And I hate to shock you, but if you're a Trump supporter, Trump is no more your hero in any real sense, no more your friend than Biden, whichever Biden we're talking about, because it seems like there's at least a couple. You look at the different pictures. Which one's Joe? What do you know? But the reason why voters hate anarchists is because we point this out. And what's more important is, even if it's not perfect, because we kind of live on the Death Star, we as anarchists try to find strategies, counter-economics, voluntarism, agorism. We try to find strategies to peacefully live with our neighbors and to peacefully extricate ourselves from the bullshit. And it's not perfect. I can testify in the last 8 years that finding a situation where it worked has been more or less almost impossible. There was a time in Utah where I would have said, it's getting to the point where maybe it's kind of working. But good things don't last, and Utah didn't last, and that's life, okay? I'm going to drink a little bit of water here, if that's okay with you. So yeah, anarchists are people who would say, why don't you spend your time on better things? You know? Anyways, next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You don't need to make peace, you just have to turn off war. You don't have to make peace, just turn off war. You don't have to be friends, just don't drop bombs. You know, it's really that fucking simple. People talk about making peace, and usually making peace, like the peacemaker, I think that's what they call the MX missile. It's a euphemism. It's ironic. It's not serious. Don't take it seriously. The government of this country will talk about making peace and in the process drop a shit ton of ordnance on people. And they'll be making peace. You know? What did we do during World War I? We made the world safe for democracy? I mean, I don't know if that's true, but I'm pretty certain it was a giant fail. And we didn't really make any peace, not really. So here's a simple advice. You want to stop war, and it's going to be really fucking complicated. For the neocons out there, you might have to drink some baby's blood to get your brain waves up to par. If you really want to stop war. Don't participate in it. Don't entertain it. Don't get suckered by its arguments. If they tell you they know who the bad guy is, I'm fairly certain that they're probably the bad guy. Okay? The best advice is don't participate. There's nothing you can do to keep shitheads from being shitheads, but what you can do is choose not to participate. And even if it's as small as saying, I'm not going to perpetuate lies or things I don't know to be true, I'm not going to amp up the violence against any side because what's the point? Even if you just choose not to participate in the discourse of war, at least you're making a good choice. Stop war. That's it. Making peace is bullshit. You just got to stop being a dick. Here's, I think, another quote from Dr. Freckles. I know a lot of people sitting on piles of guns, and ain't nobody rising up. I know a lot of people sitting on piles of guns. Ain't nobody rising up. Yeah. So, firstly, I don't advocate violence. I don't advocate violence for all sorts of reasons. I advocate self-defense. I think we all have a right to self-defense. And the gruesome, horrible truth at this point in human history is that the assumption that people make about the government being there to help you might not simply be false in that Reagan sense, but deeply false, that the government might be out to get you in some cases. And so my best advice is avoid the government. Don't get pulled into its traps. I've known some people that do things that are purely reckless and they don't serve a purpose, but by doing them, they put themselves on the radar of the government. And I wonder why they do it. And they think of it as an act of freedom. When I see it, I just see stupidity. So before I dig into this topic much, I just want to be clear. I don't advocate violence, I don't advocate a civil war, but I will say this. A lot of the people talking up bullshit around violence and war sit on a shit ton of guns. Probably enough to arm their own squad, if not platoon. If they want to go out there and take on the man, they have all the resources to do it. But a lot of these people are simply sitting on their hands. That's the truth. It's a lot like Oath Keepers. I was a moron. I mean, I told my moron story of 2009. I was a moron. I got suckered by fear. And I even joined Oath Keepers. Why? Because I was desperate to believe any fucking piece of this system could be saved. It's something you have to get over on your way to anarchism, giving up on this idea that there isn't one fucking piece of it that's really worth saving. Not really. Okay? We can do everything it does without, you know, threatening people with violence. We can do that. And if there are things that can only be done by threatening people with violence, I don't know how to phrase it, it's probably shit we don't need to do. Dan, how are we going to get people to want to fight in wars if we... Yeah, fuck off. Anyways, next topic, because I don't want to spend time on that one. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Arguing with Paul Krugman is admitting you're mentally ill. Yeah. I'm going to leave that one hanging. Paul Krugman is a strange, strange character to me. He definitely is that penultimate Keynesian macro economist who sees things from that perspective. And he does kind of believe that, you know, we could have as much debt as we want. And there is this kind of queer sort of truth to it. We could, we can, we're doing it. Doesn't mean it's going to work. Doesn't mean long term it's not terrible. But, I mean, Paul Krugman is fairly consistent in his craziness. And so if you spend any time, like, trying to argue with a person like him, either him or someone like him, you're probably not just wasting your time, but admitting you're fucking crazy, too. Next topic. So I've been thinking about different jobs because I've been applying on Indeed, trying to apply for basic kinds of, you know, IT jobs I might do from a fucking camper in the woods. But then I thought to myself, why don't I just become a porn star? My name would be Rick Biggington. I would have the main hustle in the valley, not far from the In-N-Out, where my movie girls hang and sell strong juice donuts to the local cops. I'd harvest the jelly and oil up, and when the camera turned on, I'd turn you on. If I were a porn star, they'd say, Hey, Big Rick. You're a porn star. Hey, Big Rick. You're real now. You got hope ahead. You're a porn star, Big Rick. As I slung my dick for a stack of lettuce. And my girl, Histy, would do meth with me in the park after dark. We'd both have a Narcan injector ready. The honey butter oil they'd rub on my man boobs would be filled with histamine minty freshness, as vapo-rub sporgasm leads to nitrous-type butt magic. And her tummy gasp would sell DVDs in China. Her tummy gasp would sell DVDs in China. And most of the galley tribe would be stuck on Who's Miss Charlie, our number one hit debut. As a porn star, I'd develop a new multi-stage guru-type butt muscle program with progressively reshaping tube sock wrenching. People would come to my seminars. And even Ted would invite me to give a talk about power drilling and West Kentucky goat stroking and other dignified subjects of totalistic love power if I were a porn star. As a porn king, I'd buy a vineyard in some burnt-out Northern California crispy town, where the Munget slaves feed on scale flesh and the old dabblers shamble towards Grinkentown. I'd call the vineyard Cock Chudson. I'd call the vineyard Cock Chudson, in honor of a great actor who made a movie once called Seconds, and how that story is like this story. I'd shift porn style and reinvent myself after spending 8 weeks at a Thai monk guru spa. I'd do a new series called The English Dock Worker. I'd show up at her door asking for money for the old dock workers, and she'd be in a t-shirt and underwear and ask me if I knew how to get on Instagram. It develops from there. My girl and I would switch from meth and coke to cougar snake venom, and my girl would have to inject this shit directly into my testicles after my third heart attack and between the second zipper surgery. But it would be my vineyard, and we'd do another English series called The British Investigator. All of it would be filmed at the vineyard. Smart, save money. I'd be in tweed and all Scottish Welsh bullshit, and she would be dressed like a nun, and my job would be to find the truth. This script writes itself. As a porn star, one day I will die. As a porn star, one day I will die. And it will probably be from pigeon monkey herpes cancer, cause let's be straight, that's the end game for old burnt out porn stars. Sleazy as F, dirty bird cave dance, you get the picture. And on my death bench, as the seagulls poop on me, some old busty female hobo will say, "Sir, I beg, how are you?" And remembering my role as the British investigator, my last words will be, "How's your cable, Mabel? You got problems with your cable? I'm from the Dock Workers League. I'll take off my sweaty t-shirt, rub that oil on my splingus wound, take me to a new world." Mabel. I don't know if I'm going to become a porn star. I just have a dream. Shouldn't we have dreams, right? So there's this talk at work about something that's sort of related to this next thing. It's not really directly related. So if anyone's listening, it's not. But I've been in a weird place about work, and I've been talking to my friends about it and saying, maybe we should, you know, we should go on strike. And they said, well, it's in our contract that we can't go on strike. And I said, that's bullshit. Everybody can go on strike. We need to go on strike because the man is a motherfucker. We need to go on strike because the various protein cans no longer contain enough of the green healthy vegetables. We need to go on strike because of the plastic in our bile ducts. We need to go on strike. You're all Kester Flesh mongrels for eating your grape salad and drinking that tangerine spritzer. Your tall, hot skin sack tells you kind things about your everyday living as your given heart turns to diesel fumes and my broken pipe leaks acid. We're striking. We're going on strike. We're tired of your bullshit. We're tired of your crap. This is a strike. We will rise up because the Formula One, you know, race car drivers are stripper style bacon steaks, and most of the people in charge are eating cheese while the rest of us eat fermented whale semen cake. We got a strike. We've had enough. I'm tired of sleeping on mold mattresses and living on the edge of a hooker nightmare. I know the world is spinning and some joker is hiding his or her gold in their snatches. It's what is going on, baby, but we're striking because we want the diamond-studded dildos and the Rhapsody-style puppy mills. People will say, "Why the fuck are you striking, Dan?" And you know what I'll say, motherfucker? Because you asked that side-eyed question, Mr. Fucker. Because you asked that question, Mr. Motherfucker. And then me and my buddies from the union find that dude and beat him up with rods and dump his body someplace where secrets are always kept. That's a strike. We're striking because of the rights of man defined by Lord Clovar have been violated. We were promised beer donkeys and robot beans and half donkeys and half robots and half beer, wandering, filling our glasses with cool, refreshing beer. You promised us robot donkeys, beer donkeys. This never happened. We were promised 2-show and 4 no-show jobs for the guy that we did that thing with. You know, the thing where that stuff that was left over from that other thing got taken care of? Not far from that place we went fishing last year after the storm. That was a bad storm when we had to do that thing to that guy. That was bad. We used to have sandwich and stew and chili parlors where old grease freaks from the bowels of Toyota, Kentucky could rub sclevet oils on his or her sores and drink moonshine with Tennessee whores. We used to be a proper country, and now we have to strike. There was a time when the hard-working American man of vigor and mineral spirits and aluminum siding was respected because he had lungs half filled with asbestos and a heart racing from too much plutonium. We striking because you drink your latte with your fancy British name Frenchie. That beast is rancid and unviable. We're striking because of that. I know a lot of you think you're fancy. You're not fancy. You are kettleworm awaiting a destination of disease monkey paste because your slime village is a nest of all murder vipers. And we coming. We coming to strike. Strike now while the iron is hot. If you show up for this strike, borrow coveralls from your pal Frank. He has a real job working on cars. If you can't borrow Frank's coveralls, buy some of your own, but splatter them with diesel fuel and oil. It needs to seem like you work for a living, baby. Make sure you have a grimace look on your face. Do not smile. Strikers don't smile. If a scab shows up, you pick the scab, you pick it, you take it, you put it in the trunk of the LTD, and you drive to a magical place of empty forever forgetting near the swamp. But you show up to my strike, you gotta be ready for anything. Please pack some knives and a FUD revolver and maybe a sock full of rocks and a bat. Be prepared to swing and beat your way to justice. Don't let the factory manager get away with it because we're striking. We're done with it. We're done. We're striking. So, I've discussed an issue in the past that's really not that important to me one way or the other. The idea that at some point in the near future, it could become technically possible to breed radioisotopes without a breeder reactor. And you could say, well, Dan, why is that interesting? Well, it's interesting because it means a couple things. It means you could produce plutonium on a much lower scale of logistics. It wouldn't necessarily be free. It would still be expensive. But it would mean you forego, for example, I think possibly a lot of processes that are required to reach a point where you can either have plutonium or enriched uranium. And the idea is relatively simple and not original. I think there have been many people thinking about it, but that you could use high-energy lasers to do this in lieu of a breeder reactor. And you might even produce customized fissionable materials doing this, which potentially could be more destructive than plutonium. I don't know. This was just hypothetical science fiction bullshit. And I don't want to spend time on it, in part because the nuclear war thing feels real and fake at the same time. And as topics go, it's a dead-end topic. If there's a nuclear war, what do you do? I don't know. Depends upon where you live. Probably kiss your ass goodbye. If they lie to us about nukes, if nukes are like going to the moon and it's just some kind of bullshit, then I guess we might find out. I can't really tell you. It's a really bad topic. Next topic. Fuck. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You can't have trans without transhumanism. Well, I don't like beating up on people, period. I believe gender dysphoria is real. I believe that our government, especially since 2020, has been generating a lot of divide and conquer. A lot of operations whose purpose is really just to make people angry. And I think a lot of this orbits around the topic of the drag queen story time issue around kids, for example, being managed or groomed into thinking that they are transsexual and they need to have surgery or they need to be on hormones. Kind of like the previous topic, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because, again, it's spending time on trauma that I don't think has anything to do with the people that get angry about it. I think it has to do with control. One of the things people tend to forget, maybe, because I don't remind them, is that a lot of this trauma-based mind control at an individual scale can look like it's making people crazy and unstable. But in reality, at a population scale, as I've said before, it's a sedative. It keeps people kind of like under control. And so, yeah, you can spend time on the trans issue, but as far as transhumanism goes, I do think that there is a kind of basic message in transhumanism that, frankly, is nowhere near reality, but convinces people that if you think you're a dolphin, you're a dolphin. Or if you think you're an eagle, you're an eagle. And South Park already did it, so I'm going to the next topic. There you go. Going to the next topic. I have a comment about simulation theory, if you want to read it. I've said this before. If I didn't believe in God at this point, probably the cosmology that would be the one I would settle upon would be simulation theory. For lots of reasons I don't want to go into. I believe in God, so it's not really an issue. But I've been thinking about it a little bit. And one of the things that occurs to me is that it is quite possible to believe in God and to also see the world in a way as a simulation, because it is really a manifestation of the Lord's will. And in that sense, you could say, well, how is it different? You could say, well, Dan, a simulation is an oversimplification. Yeah, it is. It is. And that could be one of those points where you'd say that's the difference, is that this is too real. The experience is too real. It's too immersive. Maybe. I don't know. What I would say is simply this. Since I believe in God, it doesn't really matter. The Lord can create the universe any way the Lord wants to. I don't believe he's lying to us in terms of reality. So it's really up to us to discover what reality is composed of. And this is a land of consequences, you know, blank around, find out, yada, 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 fuck around, blah, blah, blah. So, if you don't know, I'm Generation X, right? Generation X, I was born in the year 1970. That's many years pre-Boblimpdoc. I was born amongst the Scriggly folk of Sector 19, also known as Skagit County. We lived in the mud flats and ate tornado bunnies, and we lived off of whatever greasel grease we could find. But it's funny when I think back. Like, when I was a kid, I remember going to my first McDonald's. And even though it was not a new thing at that point, it was new enough that when it finally got to where I lived, it was like, oh my gosh, can we all go to McDonald's? And there you go. And then when I was a kid, we got our first delivery pizza restaurant. I think it was called Mario's Pizza. And the pizza was pretty good. It's just, it turns out, this is pre-Euro, and even if the money were Euros, it turns out that my sisters who brought home money from their trips to Europe, like lots of different kinds of monies, this is the early 80s, there isn't one Euro, everybody's got their own monies, and it turns out the Mario's Pizza guy was not really into, yeah, currency arbitrage. In reality, he probably should have taken all that European money and ran, because it was probably hundreds of bucks worth. But yeah, there you go. Maybe it was. It might have been about, it just as likely, it could have been like $2 worth or something. But it looked like a lot, and boy, meditate on that when it comes to inflation. It looks like a lot. Another thing I remember from when I was a kid that kind of, I don't know, it reached its peak and now is in the nadir or whatever, the other side of the mountain. But do you remember malls? Like, you remember when your town got its first actual mall? Like a mall that had a bunch of stores you could go to? Remember going to that food court and ordering the real Italian pizza slice named after some Mexican killed in France? Sparrows? Remember those fun stores with fake shit and whoopee cushions? You could buy your girl a mood ring and then test your love at the YMCA shower. Those were good days, mall rat days. Some scrib is selling cell phone plans in the main hall, and he says, "Listen up, Vern, you're gonna buy this ringle-ding? And it's all I can do to keep myself from braining this guy with a baseball bat from Dick's Sporting Goods. I'm going to the mall. I would go to Nordstrom's and try on their spring-summer pastel button-down bullshit with a little fucking sailboat on the ding-a-ling. I'd go home to my dorm room at the UW and watch George F. Will mindfuck me with sideways, small government Republican tripe. As I drifted deeper into the personal abyss that almost destroyed me, but then there were malls and they helped, right? You remember going to the mall with Rita? And trying on the mascara wand at Frederick's. She would tease you with those strapless bras and those tube tops, but you were her jism king and she was your sandwich dream. You'd spend the day watching Woody Allen films and trying on skirts and shoes. She would, you'd pay. And by the time the sun was going down, you'd grab takeout from old style Panda Express. Their motto used to be, real good panda, real fast, Panda Express. You'd get the orange panda, she'd order General Tso's panda. You'd make love in your studio till the sun came up somewhere. The mall is where Rick broke your small ginger heart. He was big and strong and played football. He said he'd marry you one day, but instead he left you pregnant, and you just finished seeing Jurassic Park, so you think life is a shame. And Rick had his game, and he ended up lame, and washed up near Scompton. But your cat's spirit burned hot, and you made your way to Hot Topic for some brand new t-shirts. There was this store, you know, this one store at the mall. There was this one store called Sleeves, and it only sold sleeveless clothes. Gumbo freaks and East Side Tommies and various law enforcement would frequent Sleeves for buying wife-beater t-shirts and sleeveless coats and jackets. The same place would sell mercury love potion from the Philippines and very abrasive rope and cloth masks and chloroform. Sleeves. I recall going to Sears and buying a new bicycle. I rode and rode and rode down my roads all summer day long, chased by midget squirrels and pedergast flies. And the sun rose so high in the sky, and I was at peace because of malls. Malls were our Amazon, they were our internet, they were our social network. Malls is where we first contracted genital craps. Malls is where we bought smack from Bernie. Malls is where the world died. Malls. It is almost 8 p.m. on April the 1st, 2024, and is your good friend Dan. I was kind of worried that my Zoom recorder was crapping out on me, but it made it the whole time so far. If you listen to this podcast and you think it's worth donating to, before you do anything, like click on that PayPal link for as long as that lasts. I'm probably going to get canceled soon. But before you do anything, listen to the disclaimer. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Before you donate to some random hobo on the internet, take care of your food, water, shelter. If there are people in your life that need help, help them first. In part, this is about building community. If you're setting aside food for your family, let's say 6 months worth of food because you're a fucking optimist, make sure you set aside food for your pet. If you have a dog or a cat or even a Frenchie, make sure you set aside food for that animal, because that animal, even the Frenchie, might do something to help you one day. Even the Frenchie. Maybe. I don't know. Remember, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, there's a lot of lying going on. This is true. And sometimes I do get worried that we're seeing signs, but then I'm reminded of how poor a Christian I am, and the simple fact that the Lord said he would come like a thief, and he's a trillion times infinity more skilled at being a thief than Ant-Man. So we're just not going to know. And so we can obsess on signs and darkness. We can obsess on lies and bullshit. And believe me, our government is producing that 24/7, all the fear monkeys you ever wanted to eat. Or we can choose to ignore it because maybe most of it is just bullshit. Does that mean I think that easy times be ahead? No. I think some pretty crazy fucking times lay ahead. But I also don't think it's the end of the world. And I also know that, you know what, in good times, bad times, good times, the reality is our lives have always been a mess. Doesn't matter who you are, everybody dies. But it's really not about death and destruction. It's about how you live. So before you donate to my podcast, do yourself a favor. Even though I don't think it's the end of the world, I do think there are things that might be gone for a while. I hope not forever, but maybe for a while. Right now, you can still go do them, like go see a movie. Maybe go to a restaurant you enjoy. Maybe buy yourself a steak or two after you take out a home loan to get one. I'm just kidding. But the point is, while you can still do a few things that bring you joy, before you donate to my podcast, do that. And if you've done all the above and you still have gold and hookers and cocaine, enough to send me to the next world. Yeah. If you have enough gold and hookers and cocaine to send me to Mars, then yeah, donate as much as you want to, or as little. If you're asking me to tell you if I think this podcast matters, let me tell you a story about what happened tonight. I felt a total sense of basically emptiness, which means that I wasn't really in a good mood. I just didn't give a fuck. I had let go of everything today. I don't do that well every day. Some days I'm good at it. Some days I'm not. But there was a moment today where I said, fuck it. Everything matters so little that maybe a few things do matter. As weird as that fucking sounds. Does it mean the podcast matters? No. Does it mean it's going to keep going indefinitely? Who knows? I mean, basically, I have a few pieces of technology that will last as long as they do. I have a living situation that's as sketchy as probably a lot of people's living situations are right now. If I spend any time complaining, I'll feel like an asshole. That's the truth. But it's not the end of the world. Okay? So, it is April Fool's Day, 2024. Like I said, almost 8 p.m. Almost 8 p.m. I hope that you're happy and healthy where you're at. I hope that you're finding some peace in the day. I hope that you eat healthy, nutritious food and that your family is safe. I hope that you remember that it's better to live a dignified and free life than it is to be a slave. And other than that, you know, be careful out there, you know. Life ain't like malls no more.